If you look at where we were a year ago at this time when Omicron started to surge, we were having 800,000 to 900,000 infections and 3,000 to 4,000 deaths. Today, we had less than 300 deaths. Yesterday, we had 350 deaths. And we're having about 45,000 or anywhere from 27 to 45,000 cases. That is much, much better than we were a year ago. But it is not at a level low enough where we should feel we're done with it completely, because we're not.
Dr. Anthony Fauci on CBS's Face the Nation yesterday. Here in Los Angeles, COVID cases and hospitalizations are increasing. The weekly positivity rate is above 7%, and that's a rate we haven't seen since early September. More than 800 people are hospitalized, and that's roughly double the number from a month ago. After the Thanksgiving weekend, public health officials are warning that those numbers are likely to increase. Joining us now is Apoorva Mandavilli. She's a New York Times science and global health reporter. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Are we seeing a rise in cases across the country?
We're seeing a rise in cases across some parts of the country, but it looks like probably in a few weeks, we will be seeing rises all across the country. We're headed in that direction.
And that's because of all the travel and the gathering and all that kind of stuff during Thanksgiving?
That's right. That's exactly right. People are mingling. We've got the holidays coming up. There's already been so much travel, and there will be so much more in the next few weeks. And we know now that this virus spreads the best when people are crammed together indoors. And that's exactly what we're about to do.
And the new variant also spreads more easily, right?
It does. And that's because, you know, we already all have so much immunity that these variants that are coming up now have to be really, really good at spreading in order to get around that immunity. And so the variants that we have now are just incredibly good at infecting people.
And what are these variants? I'm getting a little confused by all the initials and the numbers these days.
I mean, fair enough, right? At least we had Greek letters for a while, but these ones don't even have that. Yeah, so we have two right now called BQ1 and BQ1.1. They're actually very closely related, and together they account for about 60% of the cases. And until recently, you know, the only one we really had to worry about was one called BA5, but that's on its way out. That's actually decreasing pretty steadily every week, and I think pretty soon it's going to be really just a very small minority. So the ones that I just said are incredibly immune evasive are BQ1 and BQ11. BA5 also was, but these are even more so. And I think that's going to be the trend. We're going to see more and more immune evasive variants that are better and better at getting around the immunity we've already built up.
So the latest booster, though, targeted BA4 and 5, correct? So how effective can it be against BQ1 and BQ1.1?
Yeah, that's a really good question. So they were designing it for BA5 because they were making the decision in September when BA5 was dominant. But of course, it's been very swiftly replaced by these new variants. And so now we have a booster for a variant that's actually not dominant. We think that it'll still be very good against severe disease and death. And so, you know, everybody who is older, immunocompromised, at risk in any way should go and get the booster. But for people who are under 50 and relatively healthy, it's not clear how much benefit it will add because it's certainly not going to prevent infections, may prevent some infections, but it's not going to be very effective. And, you know, people in that age group and who are relatively healthy already have a decent amount of protection against severe disease and death. So it's not really clear how effective these boosters will be for, you know, people who are not at high risk.
Which may explain why so few people have actually gotten it. I think the number here in Los Angeles County is just 12% have gotten this latest booster.
I think that's part of it, but I think some people also just decided not to get the vaccine even before these new variants came up. I think people are tired of getting shots, tired of getting boosters, and they just want to act like the pandemic is fully over, which it's not. But, you know, I can understand why people just don't want to look at it anymore.
Right. And I can attest from being out and about over this past weekend that people are pretty tired of wearing masks as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I commuted to the office today and I was wearing a mask, and I would say I was probably one of four people in my entire subway car wearing a mask. Everybody else was mask free.
Right. Okay. So people don't seem to care very much. But, you know, there's this mixed messaging when it comes to our government officials. You hear Fauci saying, Dr. Fauci saying the pandemic is not over, but President Biden said it is over. So whom should we believe?
Well, I think they walked that comment back by President Biden, because I think he sort of misspoke when he said the pandemic is over. I think what is over, hopefully, is the sort of trend we saw last year when, you know, the hospitals were just completely overrun with COVID patients and we were still seeing so many deaths. So I think, you know, Dr. Fauci is probably right about that, that we won't see those kinds of numbers this winter. And even if a lot of people get infected, we may not see the kinds of hospitalizations or deaths we saw last winter. But I say probably because it's November 28th, and last year, exactly at this time, was the time we heard about Omicron for the very first time. So I think none of us should really be trying to predict what happens, because this virus has surprised us over and over and over again.
Right. Well, meanwhile, there was talk about trying to develop, or there maybe there still is talk about developing a universal COVID vaccine. What's happening with that?
Not a whole lot. There was talk, and there still is talk. So there are these universal COVID vaccines that are trying to be developed. You know, there are lots of teams working on them, but it's going very, very slowly, mostly because there's actually very, very little money to work on them in this country. It's also a little more technically challenging, because, you know, the whole point of these vaccines is they target the parts of the virus that are the best at producing antibodies. And when you go after other parts of the virus, which the universal vaccines try to do, it's just not as effective. And so we're sort of facing a whole bunch of hurdles. And, you know, the candidate that's furthest along is in phase one, which is very, very early trials. So we are not looking at a universal vaccine anytime soon.
And we're not going to spend a bunch of money on it at this point?
Apparently not. I mean, we should be, because, you know, it's very clear that we need something. We can't just keep doing this sort of guessing game where, you know, in September we pick a vaccine candidate and then by, you know, 2 months later it's already outdated. So, you know, it's clear that we need something else, but Congress is not really inclined to fund it. And Moderna and Pfizer are not really very helpful to, you know, academic groups or other companies that want to use their vaccines to sort of test against. And so it's just been very complicated for anybody who's trying to work on these vaccines.
What about in other countries? Are they further ahead or more willing to develop these vaccines or nasal sprays or anything along those lines?
Yeah, so universal vaccines, nobody's really very close. And it's, you know, that's because partly it is so challenging. But nasal vaccines that you mentioned, those are sort of a bit more fruitful in other countries. So now we have a bunch of countries in India, China, Russia that have nasal sprays, and China has this inhaled spray. So there are these other candidates. We're not sure exactly how good they are, because honestly, none of those companies have released the data. But it does seem like those countries are more interested, are investing more. You know, in the US, we have academic groups who are interested, but there's a group at Mount Sinai, and there's a group at, you know, Washington University in St. Louis, and they've been collaborating with scientists and companies outside the US. So like the Mount Sinai group is testing its, you know, vaccine in Mexico, and the St. Louis group worked with the company in India, because the regulatory and the funding environment here is so not friendly to these new vaccines. Those vaccines, I think, are good against, you know, preventing infection. So hopefully we'll see some activity there.
All right. Well, thank you so much for the update.
Thanks very much for having me.
My pleasure. That's Apoorva Mondavilli. She's a New York Times science and global health reporter. The Supreme Court may have made it easier to overturn gun laws here in California. A federal case is testing that now in San Diego. The Legal Eagle, Jessica Levinson, is here to talk about that next on Press Play.